We're continuing to look at on earth as it is in heaven, and we've been using the scripture Matthew 6:10 as a foundation. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're involved in seeing that a kingdom come and establish. God has given us that kingdom. We want to be engaged intimately with the Father so that we know his will, so we can outwork that on earth as we discover it when we engage him in heaven. To function on earth as it is in heaven, we need our identity as sons to come from the Father. We must not try and get our identity from what we do, else that will drive us rather than the intimacy of relationship will guide us and direct us and lead us. So we're looking at embassies of heaven, part two. What are they? How do they function? How do they align heaven on earth? How do they create heaven on earth? All of these things we'll be looking at covering. So in 2014, I think it was, I had this encounter seeing that arcs of blue light all over the world connecting up in areas where people would come together governmentally to form and establish ecclesias and embassies of heaven on earth. And I believe God is calling us to come together in connection and bring a convergence of heaven on earth, arcs of light connecting in heaven and on earth to establish heaven in and through these embassies. These arcs or apostolic resource centers, and that's another name, legislative centers. These arcs will be gardens of God, reflecting the garden that God put us in and seeing that fill the earth. Cities of refuge, another term, which is a safe place, storehouses for the harvest, embassies of heaven on earth. All different terminology, carrying different perspectives, but I believe this is living in the overlap of heaven and earth, living under the higher spiritual authority and laws of heaven whilst on the earth and not being subject to that those things of the earth. An embassy governs within the power of his name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, reflecting heaven into the earth as gateways, but also administering the everlasting doors to see the river of life poured out onto the earth once again as it was in the beginning. A restoration of the flow of heaven into the earth. So when we create an open heaven and bring agreement with heaven and earth, we can then clear the atmosphere, cooperate with the correct principalities, powers, and rulers that God has assigned for this area, region, under the everlasting doors. We can then open those doors for direct access onto the earth with the river of life flowing, and we will see such an increase. Way, way beyond what is possible from just the flow of rivers of living water coming through us as individuals. When we exponentially come together, we will see a multiplication. And we covered a lot of this when we looked at frequency and how one person operating at a higher frequency can compensate for multiple people operating at lower frequencies. In our sonship, we need to be operating with the frequency of heaven, the frequency of sonship, radiating the light of sonship into the world. So we are the embassies of heaven, sons of the kingdom, to colonize this world and rule over it, not to dominate in a negative way, but to have dominion to bless and empower everything of God's kingdom to succeed. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. He empowered them to prosper and succeed. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it and rule over it. That is still our sonship mandate, to make earth like it is in heaven. And we need to engage heaven, but we also need to practically outwork this on the earth. It isn't enough to have heavenly encounters with no earthly outworking. There must be earthed out in practice. Now, God spoke to me as I was talking to him about embassies and various things. He said, son, normalcy keeps people perpetuating the past in the present with no hope for a transformed future. Normalcy is really expecting everything really to carry on much the same. Son, the future is going to be different from the present in that the systems my children have come to rely on will not provide the answers to the problems they've created. And this is the systems developed through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Things appear to be getting better when viewed through human eyes and compared to the past, but is it? And what are we measuring it with? I mean, I watched a video online or a Facebook thing on transhumanism and the agenda for turning humans and living forever and immortality. And in some senses, I was like, wow, there is progress being made. But on the other sense of, wow, this is the best man can do to try and perpetuate life without God. And when we have God, immortality comes through taking on the life of God and being restored back to God's original condition, not giving us nanotechnology or augmenting us with robotics and other things. You know, we've got to be very careful that we don't begin to see some of these things as the answer, when in reality, the answer lies in our relationship with God, embracing the power that's operating in communion in the body and blood of Jesus, that if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we will not die and we can be immortal in that sense. That is God's intention, but let's make sure we do not push agendas which are very much contradictory to God, particularly genetic agendas. You know, we need to see genetics as something that can help us and not be bringing different animals together in and adding those to human genome. So we've got to be very careful of that. So technology has solved some of the current problems, but the future will bring a total failure of the DIY tree systems. And this is what God said to me. Nothing that comes from following the DIY tree will be restored, because it was never my intention from the beginning. Independence from a relationship with me can and never will produce fruit, and everything that has been produced will not be restored. Now, I think what God is saying there is, just because we've done something that looks good doesn't mean that he is going to restore that, because it was our idea and not his. The greatest achievements in the name of mankind will end in the same way as the Tower of Babel, in abject failure, because they're about creating a name for themselves rather than honoring God, who is our Creator and Father. Those places on earth that represent me as embassies of heaven will be true demonstrations of what it is possible to achieve by walking the path with me and drawing from the inexhaustible supply of the tree of life. Let's not draw from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's walk the path in relationship and draw from the tree of life. And we will find that that goes way beyond what we could ever imagine or think from a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do-it-yourself perspective. I will restore all the abilities I intended my children to have, as seen in my Son, and greater, to those who will establish embassies of heaven on earth as sons of the living God. When my children arise into sonship, so will their abilities ascend as they mature in heaven and on earth. I will release the full capacity of the expanded consciousness of the mind of Christ to those who ascend to maturity, so creation can truly observe the light of sonship revealed. When my children give up their independence and choose to walk with me, the sons of God will be unveiled and creation be restored to the freedom of their glorious rising. Son, the embassies that truly reflect heaven on earth will surpass the greatest imaginations of men to become what would have been if the garden had expanded as was intended, to fill the earth with the fruit of the tree of life. And, you know, I think this is so important that we embrace the tree of life and we are a vehicle for that tree of life to be manifested back onto the earth. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, power and spirit beyond and beyond sonship will be flowing from the ascended fathers who will rule creation as family. Now, as we mature, we go beyond sonship to ascended father status, which means we will have responsibility for creation in a different level, representing God as Father. So there's way more to come. And what is possible to engage within the seven spirits of God will become an outworking through us. We will have knowledge and understanding, counsel, power through the Spirit in a way which goes way beyond what the soul's capacity has independently of God. Son, nations have come and gone. They are but a drop in an ocean, but a mere wisp of breath. But family will be restored as one, with all barriers, boundaries, and divisions removed, so kingdom family can bring the full blessing to fruition. And I so believe that God never intended there to be nations that oppose one another and fight wars over territory or the name and the position. But we be family. All the families of the earth blessed. That was the original intention for Adam. It was the intention when Noah was given the same mandate to go and fill the earth again. It was the intention that God had, and yet man turned that attention around to create independence and therefore their own identity. And we need to see it restored back to God's original purpose, which was family, relationship. What Adam, Abraham, Moses, and David failed to do will be fulfilled in the new covenant when all the promises are fully realized in Jesus as Son and through all who are alive in him as sons and co-heirs, which is all of us. We've all got a part to play in this. Son, do not limit your thinking to the DIY technological visions of embassies, but allow me to expand your mind to see and embrace organic garden possibilities. Now, I was looking at embassies as being places where maybe thousands and thousands would come, drawn to the light, and then we would need to house them, or we would need to find food for them, we would need to find power sources for them. And I think there's a degree where that is true, but I was seeing it through, okay, we can choose to create houses by just creating and calling them out of the quantum realm, if you like, and calling the fabric of creation to respond and form a house. Well, what God was trying to show me here is, well, what about living what it would have been like in the garden, where the garden gives up its bounty and produces life, and we're in a safe, secure place. Very different from trying to create something out of our own understanding. Maybe we won't need to live in houses when we're living in a different state. Now, I'm just throwing out ideas here because God wanted to challenge me to be sure that I wasn't just thinking according to the wrong path and the wrong tree, even in seeing the possibilities that exist in an expanded consciousness to choose realities. Do I want my reality to align with what I already know or to what God knows? Son, it will not be living under an open heaven, but living as it is in heaven on earth. So we need to live in heaven, but also that heaven is actually what we're going to live on the earth. So what is it like living in heaven? What is the atmosphere like? How do we live there? That's what it's going to be like when we fully see an embassy established and heaven established in that area under an everlasting door on earth. Son, embassies will not be subject to the corrupted creation dynamic, but to paradise restored. Now, I encourage you to meditate on paradise restored. What is it? Not the poem Milton or whatever wrote the poem or the book or whatever, but the reality of what does God mean? What does God desire? What we would say paradise or utopia. What is God's view of that? Not what's our view. Not what we can come up with from our own understanding, but what is God's heart for that? Therefore, we can embrace that and let that transform and change how we think. Therefore, perfect weather conditions, perfect growing conditions, no curses, full elemental and atmospheric cooperation. The elementals that God has created and the atmosphere operating under the correct principalities and powers, all working together in perfect union and oneness, not at odds with creation, creation not groaning, creation not dysfunctional or corrupted, but beginning to be restored, and therefore sonship and creation working together in harmony. This is, I believe, what we need to be looking for. Creation restored to the oneness and limitlessness of the freedom of sonship in restored paradise. Son, do not be limited to the DIY possibilities that are restrictions, but be free to explore the limitless potential creative possibilities of an expanded mind of Christ inspired consciousness. Therefore, we need to start thinking bigger. Start thinking how God thinks in the eternal now perspective. A group of ecclesia in a city or region could collaborate to form an embassy of heaven that represents the families of the earth in being blessed and being a blessing. And it's key that we live being blessed, but also that we live to be a blessing to others. There can be no competition, factions or denominations creating a name for themselves. This is not, well, this is who we are as an embassy or an ecclesia. This is about bringing honor and glory to God not to ourselves. It's not making a name for ourselves, empire building. Empire building and establishing empires, whether they be Christian ministry empires or any other empires, is not God's desire. He is the king. We need no other king but him. And we can function in our sonship in outworking that kingship into the earth. So what is an ambassador? An accredited diplomat sent by a state, its permanent representative in a foreign country. A representative or promoter of a specified activity. Now for us, that's Kingdom of God activity. An authorized messenger, representative, agent, apostolic delegate, messenger, minister, emissary. All these things are part of what an ambassador is. And an ambassador lives in an embassy. So we're all ambassadors. In an earthly embassy, there's one ambassador. In our embassies, we're all ambassadors. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. So there's a sense where we have to be different from the do-it-yourself perspective that the world has created. We're not going to do this using the systems of man. We're going to do this in the sonship of establishing heaven. John 17:18. And you, as you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. So we're not of this world. We're not going to do this. The kingdom is not a worldly, earthly, empire-building kingdom. It isn't going to be like the four things of the Daniel statue, that which was of Babylon or Persia or Greece or Rome, to conquer the world, to create an empire that represents them. This is something which is a totally different dynamic. We're sent into the world not to do it the world's way, but to do it God's way. And we've been sent and empowered. John 20:21. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So we are peace bringers. We're those to bring harmony. We're those to bring love. We're those to demonstrate the path of the tree of life, the river of life, not to do it in a worldly way. This makes us ambassadors, citizens of another kingdom, heaven, but living on the earth, gateways of heaven on the earth, bringing heaven to the earth through everlasting doors. Ambassadors are the highest ranking officials of one kingdom living in another land. We take our orders and get our authority from heaven. Only doing what we see the Father doing in relationship. As citizens of heaven, we carry heaven's authority. We each have a kingship to exercise and a sphere of life to rule over, and then corporately we have regions, areas that are under the everlasting doors that we're responsible for administrating to establish heaven in that area and then expand it to fill the earth. So we need to present ourselves to God daily as living sacrifices in our priestly role, and so demonstrate God's power and authority through our kingship. Priests and kings are royal priesthood. And this is who God has called us to be, living in heaven, outworking it into the earth, legislators and oracles. You represent one kingdom, heaven, in another kingdom, earth. You live by the laws of heaven. The ecclesia is like an embassy, territory on foreign soil. You are that. It is people. It's not a structural thing. You are protected by heavenly authority. You are not to be influenced by earthly culture, society, customs. But we are to influence and transform them, to align them to God's heavenly perspective and not an earthly one. So an embassy has a heavenly pattern of government. The reflection of heaven's government, benches of three, Father, Son, and Spirit, foundationally on the earth. Foundational servant leadership that releases people into their destiny as living stones that God is building together. That's his heart. Bottom up, not top down, no mediatorial coverings that restrict access to God in heaven, but a way of releasing it. So this is the way of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Heavenly blueprints, copy heavenly blueprints of the shadow on earth, and someone on top of that, whether it be pastors, the prophets, apostles, or even you over your own life. That is not what God wants. God wants us to engage the four faces of God, the lion, ox, eagle, man, to form the princely, priestly and kingly connection, agreement, ark in heaven, then on the earth to form the connection, the arc between the prophetic oracles and the apostolic legislation to bring heaven and earth into agreement and alignment. So we are a reflection of heaven on the earth. We establish heaven on the earth according to the four faces of God, the order of Melchizedek, to establish this. So essentially, again, what we're doing is receiving a heavenly blueprint for an embassy. We're seeing the light of heaven and us in heaven on our mountains, shining on that blueprint, creating a shadow of that blueprint on the earth. We are then forming a reflection of heaven's government, forming a bench of three under that shadow, whether it be for an ecclesia or an embassy in a town, city, region, and we're bringing the priestly, kingly agreement in heaven and establishing that on the earth. That is God's desire. That is what we can begin to do when we've established the foundation of government and we operate from heaven and bring a convergence of heaven and the earth together. So an ambassador is an oracle with the authority to speak on behalf of God. An ambassador has the supernatural power of heaven at their disposal. Colonization is the mission, therefore an embassy should be a colony of heaven. We must be different and distinctive. For us to demonstrate what it's like to live heaven on earth, we must be different from the way the earth does things. Matthew 13:24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." Now, the parables of the kingdom demonstrate some of the principles that can help us when we're looking to establish embassies on earth. And Jesus shared these things so that we could, from them, receive insight into what the nature of the kingdom is. So, we are the good seed that's sown into the world, which is his field. And therefore, we want to be fruitful. We want to multiply. We don't want to be one seed. We want to be fruitful to produce multiple fruit from the seed. Matthew 13:37. And he said, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one." So there are things which are seemingly like good seed, and I would say that's all of that which has come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, inspired by independence from God. We are the sons of the kingdom. We've been sown to be fruitful and to establish heaven into the earth, to see the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 31, Matthew 13, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches." Now, again, this is not necessarily an allegory. You don't have to find meaning in every single thing within here. But again, it starts small, and it grows, and it's sown into the field, into the world, and it may appear to be much smaller and make no sense to the world, but when it starts to become full grown, it is larger than all the plants. So it has the capacity to fill the earth. Now we want to see it grow. It needs to grow in us and through us and around us so we can establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 13:33, he spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, yeast, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened." We are called to infiltrate and influence the world, to not be of the world using the world's methods, but to be in the world demonstrating a different method so we can restore it to original condition and ownership. So we want the leaven of the kingdom, the yeast, which causes things to grow and expand and rise, to be within all of it. So we may be hidden to start with, and people may not even be aware of us. So like Joseph, hidden in the prison, in obscurity, and all of a sudden, he's now on the world stage, and the whole world knows of him because of how he was outworking his destiny. So we have the influence to influence and leaven everything so long as we're functioning from heaven and not doing it the old do-it-yourself methods. Now, I would say a lot of the programs which we've developed as church have been following the world's methodology, trying to do it like the world does it, trying to, in a sense, operate those worldly mountains rather than establishing the mountain of the house of the Lord and doing it with a totally different dynamic, which is a heavenly dynamic. So Jesus talked about how we were going to be on the earth. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And I would say that's the state of the institutional church today. It's designed to be salt, and it is actually tasteless, and actually it's being trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We need, if we're going to be an embassy, to be set on a hill, in authority. This is what it's really stating, in a position where it can be seen, and actually that light can demonstrate to the world there is a better way of doing this, the kingdom of God through love in relationship. Verse 15, nor does anyone light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. So in a perspective, we need to have light in our house, but that light is not designed just to be in the house. It's supposed to be in the house of the mountain of the house of the Lord and in the world. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, those good works, it says in Ephesians, have been prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Those good works are our destiny, the scroll that God has given us. We've been called to the kingdom for a time such as this. We have been brought and manifested on the earth as sons for a time such as this. Let your light shine. Do not hide it. Do not keep it hidden. Let it shine before people so that they can see the light that's in them. If they're living in darkness, they will not know that there is light in them because it's hidden under a veil and a covering of darkness. When we shine the light, it reveals or removes that veil over the light that's in people to reveal that God is in people. And we need to be like the Damascus Road light that revealed that Christ was already in Paul. We need to be those that reveal that God's at work in all his children so that they become mature sons. Let's be true light. Let's be true good news. Let's be the gospel that demonstrates the reality that will bring glory to the Father, our Father, as we are his children. Verse 13, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Now, I love that. This is the Message Bible. And I'm sure when Francois du Toit actually produces Matthew in the Mirror Bible, I think he's done Luke or doing Luke at the minute, I'm sure we will have perspectives on this which are very similar. We are here to be the salt seasoning, to bring out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world, like a prism, reflecting the beautiful, pure white light into multifaceted, multicolors, demonstrating this amazing way who God is in manifoldness. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And this is our role. We are ministers. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. We have the light of the testimony of our reconciled relationship with God to shine, to radiate, to be transfigured by that relationship, to be transfigured sons of God who release the light that's in them so that people can experience that light, that we have a river of living water flowing through us, creating around us an atmosphere of love, joy, peace, to be ambassadors, carrying the good news, demonstrating the good news, being the good news to those who have not yet realized how much God loves them and how much God is at work in their lives to unveil and reveal himself as their father so they can be his children. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. This is the context of those parables. He told the parables of the kingdom to give us a context to reveal his will and his purpose. This is our mandate. This is our mandate for ecclesia and embassies. And in another version, it says, reveal who you are, set the world aright, do what's best, as above, so below. Now think about that. We're here to restore everything back to its rightful, initial intention that God had for it. To do what's best, as above, so below. So engage in above, outwork that into the below. John 18:37, I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Now we could say the same. We are a royal priesthood, we are kings and priests, and we've been born for a time such as this, come to royalty, as Esther says, for a time such as this, to come into this world to testify to the truth, to be the light of truth, to reveal what it is to be in relationship with the Father. John 17:18. You sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So as he was sent as a king into the world, so we have been sent as kings into this world, not to rule or lord over them. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Let's get the right perspective of kingship, not the DIY perspective of what kings have become, but the heavenly perspective of what kingship is all about. Serving the area that we rule to bring blessing into it, to empower it, to be it, see it restored, to be it set free from corruption into the freedom of the glory of our kingship. Revelation 1:6, he made us to be a kingdom of priests. Revelation 5:10, he says that we are made to be a kingdom and priests. To reign where? On the earth, as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:33, the whole concept of the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. It's prioritizing our lives to only outwork what we see him doing to fulfill our destiny in relationship with him. This means living for and from that kingdom first, above everything else, and walking by his faith in relationship, following the path of the tree of life. That's where the resources for all these things will be added to you come from. Not from the DIY tree path of doing it ourselves and creating things ourselves in our own strength, according to our own understanding, but coming from a whole different perspective, of heaven's perspective, and outworking God's kingdom in his righteousness. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Our sphere of authority, the kingdom, is within us, but is also to be manifested through us and around us, and to expand so that we fill all of those areas that God has given us within our destiny to outwork individually and then corporately to come together as living stones in what God is building together as an ecclesia that can become an embassy of heaven as we really, really begin to arise and shine and radiate the light. Spiritual authority releases natural influence. Whoever is ruling in the spiritual environment has the influence in the natural environment, which is why we must be seated in heavenly places. We each have a sphere of authority over which we're supposed to rule. It's our destiny to rule and establish the kingdom through our lives as sons of God. Matthew 10:1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, whatever this means and meant, today, we need to see how this works for us, because we are his disciples. We are the sons of the kingdom. Therefore, we have this same authority. Matthew 10:7. And you, as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. what we've received in our sonship relationship, we must be a blessing to others by releasing that, bringing others into their sonship, revealing as light the light that's in them, inspiring us. We should be those that carry the light and demonstrate the light on earth. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, literally, this says, disciple the nations. So we need to bring the nations back to family. That is what discipleship of the nations is all about. To bring the nations away from nationalization, nationalism, to family. Therefore, all the families of the earth are to be one. And we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, the end of the old age has come, and now he's with us continually in this new covenant age. We are commissioned to influence others by making known the kingdom by our kingship. Therefore, we must expect the realization of salvation of those around us. The realization of the salvation that Jesus has already won for them, for the realization that they've already been made alive in Jesus, and that God is revealing and knocking on that door within them, looking for relationship, fellowship. As light, we are here to reveal the light in others. Those who realize they're reconciled are then discipled, equipped to go out into their marketplaces, into their spheres, and shine. And do the same, hence expanding the sphere of influence of the kingdom through the church, through embassies, into the world. 1 Corinthians 2:1. I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined that I know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The cross is central to what we do. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, trying to convince people is never going to work, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We need to see and lead people to encounter the Spirit and the Father in the power of God's presence, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. We live by the faith of the Son of God, who died for us and took our place and has empowered us to be a demonstration of the life of the Spirit, the river of life flowing in us and through us and around us, so that our shadow heals people, that we produce an energy field of life around us that brings love, joy, and peace, that this energy field has power within it to heal, to free, to set people free, to reveal the light that's in them, to remove the darkness, to shine around them like the light of the Damascus Road, that we would demonstrate the true power of God in love. In the home, in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the neighborhood, in the school, in the college, everywhere, to be an influence and make a difference in every arena. Family, politics, education, finance, health, media, sport, recreation, entertainment. Not trying to do this through the systems that these created, but to be light within them and demonstrate there is a better way. There is the path of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or there is the pathway of the tree of life. Let's demonstrate a new way. We're not to redeem these things, but to be the heavenly alternative. We're the mountain of the house of the Lord. We don't need to be other mountains. We have our own mountains to demonstrate the true kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Ephesians 3:10. So the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, the ecclesia, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. If we're under an atmosphere that's controlling and influencing, we need to start demonstrating the manifold wisdom of God, to make known the mountain of the house of the Lord, to take back the atmosphere and to begin to see the rulership of heaven on the earth. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There is manifold wisdom, multifaceted wisdom. There is manifold grace that we are stewards of. Let's use who we are, because we are the gift. effectively, we've been gifted to this world to be the demonstration of life and love. Let's be good stewards to demonstrate that manifold grace of God, the mighty and divine enabling power of God that enables people to come into a relationship with him. God is multifaceted, multicolored, multifarious, uniting many features, myriad, great number, inexhaustible variety. We are ambassadors to reflect like a prism the facets of God to this world, to be the light that the world sees God in through. Demonstrate manifold wisdom to be seen by the world and its powers. Demonstrate manifold grace to each other and therefore the world. We're all individually different facets that make up the beautiful diamond that's the whole. Unique and individual, yet part of the whole. That's what an embassy should be like. Romans 8:19. This is our mission, our mandate. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Embassies are to reveal the sons of God on earth, that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God who are living on earth as it is in heaven. God wants to show us off to the world. God wants the world to see heaven on earth through us, his children. Hebrews 12:27. Now, this has already taken place and been fulfilled in the end of the old covenant system where everything was shaken and in God's consuming fire. But God is God, and therefore he's still a consuming fire, and he still shakes things. And I believe that we must be open and willing to embrace the shaking that can reveal what we're living, what tree we're following, what path we're following, so that everything that remains is only going to be following the path of the tree of life. Hebrews 12:27, this expression, yet once more. In other words, there was a shaking in the past. There was another shaking in AD 70, but actually now there's another shaking. There's more shaking going on. It denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things. So things that we have created, man-made things, effectively, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, so here we have the kingdom which we are, the kingdom of God that we are representatives of, that we're demonstrations of, which cannot be shaken. And therefore, we have other things which we have made. Anything that we've made from the DIY tree path can be shaken and will be shaken. As it's shaken, so that we're no longer relying on it, we're no longer functioning in it, it is no longer operating and remaining in our lives, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. This is the living sacrifices, the seeking first the kingdom, which is demonstrated on earth within an embassy, within an ecclesia, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's embrace the fire of purification, refining, that we would be mature sons of God, and all of the things of our childhood, all of the things of our immaturity will be let go. We will not be doing things in our own strength, trying to do things from the wrong pathway, from the wrong tree. But we will be functioning only doing what we see our Father doing in relationship with this awesome Father that we have. So what if earthly government systems fail? Are we relying on earthly government? What happens if there's no government? What would happen to us? Think about that. Don't put all your weight behind earthly governmental systems as if they are the answer. Does God use them? Does God ordain them? Yes. But they're not the answer. What if the financial systems fail? What if you had no money? What would you do then? Is there another way? Did Jesus model a different way? I believe he did. What if the health system fails and there are incurable diseases that the medicine and the pharmaceuticals and the doctors cannot cure? What are you going to do then? What's the world going to do then? What if the educational systems fail? What if the communication systems fail? What if the power systems fail? What are we going to do? if there is going to be shaking, some of these things may well be the things that are shaken to reveal that people are not to put their trust in those things that we have developed. What if the transport systems fail? What if the food and the water fails? Will we be like everyone else in fear and panic, anxious and worrying? Will we be functioning as ambassadors of heaven on earth? People looking for a safe place, will they see our embassy as a safe place? Will our embassy be a safe place, a place of refuge, a place of safety, but also a place of equipping, a place of empowering, a place of love from which the light can shine? I believe embassies of heaven will be physical locations, not subject to the chaos of the world DIY system collapse, genuine demonstrations of heaven on earth, a city on a hill radiating light for all to see and be drawn to. Those that are subject to incurable disease, where are they going to go? To a place that lives in full health. What are the characteristics of the kingdom? What makes us distinctive? Do people notice that we have supernatural abilities, a different outlook and different attitude and approach to life? Is it a crisis or an opportunity? Are we living from crisis to crisis, or do we see the situations that we face an opportunity to overcome and demonstrate something different? Do we behave in crisis just like everyone else, or do we operate differently? Do we do what Jesus would do? Because we are here as his body on earth to represent the kingdom and outwork the kingdom that's at hand through us. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers, aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household. Therefore, together we're here to establish the kingdom. God is with us. God is in us. Will we allow God to flow from us to create an atmosphere of the very nature and character of the life of God in what we do, in these embassies, in these areas and regions that we're going to administer? What are the attitudes of the kingdom? Attitude determines altitude. Now, attitude from a flight thing is the shape of the wing, if you like, that creates lift. Are we going to be living like chickens, or are we going to soar like eagles? A settled way of thinking or feeling typically reflected in a person's behavior. How are we behaving in light of what the world is, what's going on in the world? Are we any different? What is our attitude? How we think and act and react? Is it different from anyone else? Matthew 25:1-12 are the beautiful attitudes of the kingdom that Jesus expressed that it's really good to embrace. Now, I'm going to read this in the Message Bible. Verse 3, you are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. So when we stop doing it ourselves in our own strength according to the wrong path and the wrong tree, there will be more of God demonstrated in us, and his kingdom will be expressed in us. So let's get to the end of our rope. Give up. Surrender. Stop fighting to do it your own way. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. It's okay to have difficult things happen, but when we try and handle that in our own strength, in our own way, independently of God, it ends up negative. So let God embrace us when we go through troubles, when there are difficulties. Let's live at peace and rest in the eye of the storm, not be panicking by what's going on around us, because we rule. And if we're in a community which is negative, let's start demonstrating a different kingdom and start expanding that kingdom to change our community, to transform our community. But when we receive from God what the world is experiencing, we will have something to demonstrate. We're not in denial. We don't deny our emotions. We allow God to heal and restore us and carry our griefs and sorrows. Matthew 5:5. You are blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Let's not get into materialism. Let's not get into the world system. You're not going to be more happy with more money, necessarily. You're not going to be more happy with more power. You're not going to be more happy with more position. We need to know who we are as sons of God. Our identity comes from Him, not from what we do. When we find that who we are counts more than what we've got or what we do, we will then realize that we are living in wealth. That is wealth that the world needs. Verse 6, you are blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. He is food and drink in the best meal you will ever eat. He is the one who provides everything that we need. When we seek Him, when we're engaged with Him in relationship, He is our supplier, He is our protector, He is our foundation. He is the one that through who everything will be fulfilled. Let's pursue everything in Him. Verse 7, you are blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. Let's make sure that we care for others, that we're looking for the interest of others, that we're noticing that which is going on around us in other people, that we can care for them, and then we'll find that what we give away, we receive multiplied back. So as we've been cared for, as we've received that love from God, let's love others in the same way, and we'll find that love is multiplied in us and through us. Verse 8, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right, then you can see God in the outside world. This all starts from the inside out. Don't try and change things from the outside in. Don't try and interpret the world from the outside in. Receive everything from the inside out. Let's get the gateways of our life purified. Let's get be filled with the presence of the Spirit of God. Matthew 5:9. You are blessed when you show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That means we need to stop competing and fighting with one another. It's so important that we do not have these competitions and these empire competitions. Let's come together in oneness. We don't have to agree with everything to be in relationship with one another. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. We don't need to compete with someone else. We don't need to put someone else down so we can be raised up. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, accept who He has made us to be, and He will exalt us to the place and our position in the realms of heaven and on earth. We don't need to trample and tread on other people to make ourselves feel better. We know who we are in reality and discover our place within God's family in relationship. Verse 10, you are blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Yes, there is opposition. And when we start demonstrating the light, of course the darkness tries to put out the light. But the darkness cannot put out the light. Let's make sure that in the face of opposition, we do not come in the same spirit that's coming against us, but we come in the opposite spirit. So if persecution comes, we forgive, we release, and we bless those who persecute us. We demonstrate love to those who persecute us. We demonstrate a totally different kingdom attitude. Are we going to seek revenge, or are we going to look for blessing? Again, these are kingdom attitudes that demonstrate a whole different way of thinking, living, and being that the world is desperate for. What are the results of kingdom attitudes? Blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. We can live in love, joy, and peace. We can be at rest in the midst of the hurricane, in the eye of the hurricane. This is the result of those kingdom attitudes. Blessed with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of His matchless grace. Awesome to live in the grace and mercy of God's love, empowered, and then empower others to come into that relationship also. blessed, happy, joyous, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. Let's really, really embrace this. Fortunate, happy, spiritually prosperous in the state that the born-again child of God enjoys is favor and salvation. And we need to show those who have been born again, born from above in Christ, which is the rest of mankind, of the favor and blessing of a relationship with God, that what he has done has procured for us, has reconciled us to. Let's reveal that light that's already in them, so that we can reveal to them what it is to be a child of God. Ambassadors of a supernaturally natural lifestyle. The expanded consciousness of sonship enables choosing and creating reality. You know, I've done obviously sessions on this, but we need to outwork this living together in embassies. Organic and mental technology. Discovery House of Heaven available to us to bring things out of heaven which are going to be needed for the future. Miracles, quantum manifestations. There's so much more for us to embrace. Let's look at some of these things. How are we going to live this out in practice? We cannot do it following the pathway of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We cannot do that. This must be coming from the tree of life. This is coming from a different level of consciousness, an identity and reality. So off-grid power system, zero-point energy modules. We may not have a grid system, so can we draw out of the quantum realm? Can we bring technology, whether it be organic technology, which is going to enable us to live off-grid, using our sonship to engage creation realities by conscious choice and observation? Frequency, energy healing to live in a fully healthy environment. Translation and translocation to be able to travel. Transmutation and alchemy to turn one substance into another or to multiply things, as Jesus multiplied food or turned water into wine. These are some of the things we may well use in an embassy heaven to function rather than the way in which we've been used to doing it from a world system perspective. Light and sound, mind, organic technology, creation, in cooperation, yielding its bounty. Remember, we're bringing creation back into order, that we're going to work in cooperation, in harmony with it. Expanding the restored garden paradise to fill the earth with fruitfulness, abundance, and overflow. The creation will release to us. We don't have to work by the sweat of our brow in the cursed environment. We live in the blessed environment. What will it look like to see that on earth as it is in heaven? John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. How many of the things Jesus did with an anointed, empowered mind can we do? All of them. Telepathy, transmutation, pre-postcognition, telekinesis, invisibility, quantum tunneling, creating reality. He did it all as a demonstration of what sonship is about. We are sons of the living God. Jesus knew people's motives and thoughts. Mark 2:8. Immediately Jesus was aware in his spirit that they were reasoning the way within themselves and said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? We have a supernatural way of discerning and knowing things. Luke 11:17. He knew their thoughts. Jesus also knew the Samaritan woman's past at the well. Jesus knew Peter's possible future. Jesus turned water into wine, multiplied food. Jesus predicted money in a fisher's mouth. Jesus predicted where to cast nets for a catch of fish. Jesus disappeared before people. Jesus walked through people as they tried to throw him off a cliff. Jesus walked on water. We have the mind of Christ to do the same things. Do we believe it? Therefore, how are we going to do it? In sonship, functioning with an expanded consciousness. Do we know how to use those abilities? Is our mind wired up correctly and connected to those abilities? We actually use most of our brains, despite the popular myth that we only use 10%, but we only understand how 10% of the brain functions. Only 10% of the brain are neurons. The other 90% are glial cells, which are encapsulated and support the neurons, but whose function is mainly largely unknown. There are supernatural capacities that I believe Sonship are going to operate with, which are going to be reconnected. That's not just how the consciousness works in choosing reality, but the supernatural abilities. What is not understood is how clusters of neurons from diverse regions of the brain collaborate to form our consciousness. We're going to have an expanded consciousness. Neural pathways are like superhighways of nerve cells that transmit messages. You travel over the superhighway many times and the pathway becomes more solid and habits and beliefs form. We need to see a renewed mind. We need to start believing the truth about who we are. We need to start realizing that we are sons of God with the power of heaven at our disposal to do everything Jesus did and greater. There are some areas that are disconnected and some abilities that are not yet reactivated. I believe we're going to see a reactivation within our mind. When people ask what I do for a living, this is, I found this little meme thing, I create ripples in space-time, in the space-time continuum that alter future realities in the third dimension. We have the capacity to bring and change reality to align Earth with heaven. An object in a specific vibration, everything or subject is an expression of a variant frequency. Things are mere externalized manifestations of internal cosmic vibrations. We need to understand energy, vibration, frequency. We need to understand how the atoms, the particles that make up atoms, the strings of energy, which are the grace of God within the fabric of creation, can be manipulated by our minds to cause them to come into manifestation. We call things that be not as if they are. We speak things into reality, because as sons, creation and those vibrational things within creation will respond to us when we're functioning in mature sonship. Creation begins with a subtle spiritual vibration and movement within the infinite creator. God spoke this into being and it's still vibrating with the energy of his voice, and we can connect to that energy and it will respond to us when we speak, which then gives rise to a physical vibration of energy, which is eventually solidified into matter. We can turn energy into the matter and matter into energy. We can dematerialize our whole being and go into another realm. All these things Jesus modeled. At every moment, every physical time-space expression is an externalized manifestation of a spiritual vibration. What's going on at an unseen level? Everything that is seen came out of that which is unseen. But that didn't mean it didn't exist. It just means you couldn't see it because it's at such a small particle level. Man below is a reflection of the above. The power of human speech below mimics the creative power of divine speech. Divine speech creates reality and human speech qualifies reality, calling it good or bad. We need to start operating in the divine enabling power of the grace of God. On a deeper level, our words and how we language our thoughts is a process of continually creating the world around us. In other words, things to us are what we say they are. We need to learn how to operate this, to operate in embassies. Just as we have the power to create with speech, we have the equivalent ability to destroy with speech. So we've got to be very careful with our words and our thoughts and our emotions, and we need to express everything from a place of rest in love, joy, and peace. Our words, which are our projections and vibrations, alter the inner frequency of the universe for good, for the opposite, or for the opposite. Rav Pinson quoted there. It is our legislative governmental words that create ripples in space-time to create reality. Let's start using them effectively as sons of God to bring heaven onto the earth. The alchemist is the one who transforms all energies into higher frequencies of light and love. They are bringers of a new dawn, transmuting the old paradigms into a higher intelligence and order. They act solely for the highest good of all. Love is the only master they answer to. We are alchemists. We are sons of the living God. Creation is waiting for us to be revealed and start functioning in this way. Meditate on that. See how that applies to your own life. We are beautiful, unique, multifaceted reflections radiating the diamond light of eternal consciousness. Awesome. That's who we are. To remember who you are, you need to forget what they told you to be. We need a renewed mind, the mind that reveals true sonship. Endless possibilities exist beyond your belief system. Do not be limited by what you presently really believe. Engage the mind of Christ and the thoughts of God and begin to have an expanded belief system and consciousness. We are eternal beings. Endings are not in our destiny. Let's start functioning that way. Immortal in mindset. Are we willing to be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven on earth? Are you willing to land the scrolls for the embassies of heaven? Are you willing to be part of benches of 3 or 7? Let's go further with this. I want to encourage you to embrace the reality. I'm going to make this statement, and I encourage you to, if your spirit is in resonance with it, come into agreement with it and make it your own. Use your own words if you want. I choose to accept my commission as an ambassador of heaven on earth. I choose to live according to the principles of heaven. I choose to receive my direction and protection from heaven. I choose to live from the resources of heaven. I choose not to be influenced by the ideals and culture and philosophy of the earth. I choose to become an agent of the counterculture of heaven. I choose to live a supernatural lifestyle with a higher level of authority. I choose to be an example of kingdom attitudes and the character of Jesus. I choose to demonstrate the good news of Jesus in the word and deed. I choose to be salt and light in my world. I am a minister of reconciliation to make disciples for the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador of heaven to transform the earth. God is calling the sons of God to arise. Are you going to respond? Now, I'd encourage you again to think about this, to look at, are you looking to respond in reality and be an ambassador? Or are you afraid? Are you looking to the past? Are things holding you back? Let's engage the arc of the presence of God. Again, at this point, if you've gone through 11 modules of teaching within the Engaging God program, you should be in a place where you're able to access the arc of the presence of God, engage the four faces of God, stand in the four faces of God, demonstrate and administrate through the four faces of God. This is what it is to operate as an embassy. We know heaven's open. Step into that realm. Embrace Jesus. Let him take you to that place if you don't know how to get there. But engage the ark, the tabernacle, and be open. Be open for his will and his purpose, that call to be ambassadors. Be open to receive mandates and blueprints. Be open. Open your heart. Let him write and reveal your destiny, your mandate on your heart. Let him give you scrolls that will unveil your part in this, new mantles, new scrolls, new authority as ambassadors who will establish embassies of heaven on earth. I encourage you again to close your eyes. Bring yourself to that place of rest. Just begin to relax. Think of that open heaven. Set your heart and the desires of your heart and your mind. Focus on the open heaven and step into that realm. Step through that open door into the realm of the kingdom through the veil. Engage with Jesus. Present yourself to him. Embrace him. Let him embrace you. And I ask Jesus that you will take those who need to go to the ark, who need to have their destiny unveiled, their scroll, who need mandates and blueprints for embassies of heaven to be ambassadors. Take them, lead them by the hand, direct them to where you want them to go. That they would embrace the reality of your presence, of their position in the name of God. That they would be able to open their hearts and minds to receive all that you have for them, to receive these scrolls, a fresh revelation of impartation of sonship, that we would take our responsibility towards creation and establish his embassies of heaven.